Meseches Me'ilah requires some background before we get into the actual Mishnayos. We are actually going to start out with the Psukim that discuss the prohibition of Me'ilah in Vayikra Perek Hey, starting with Pasuk Yudalid. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, if an individual comes, Nefesh Kisimol Ma'al, if somebody does Me'ilah, we'll explain what that is shortly, does the sin of Me'ilah V'chata Bishkaga, but he does it unintentionally. What we're talking about right now is unintentional Me'ilah. We'll have to talk about if somebody does it b'mezi later on in the Masechta. And what it's talking about is if somebody benefits from something that is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, Mikodshe Hashem, a very important phrase that we will discuss shortly, there is a requirement to bring a Korban Asham that is called the Asham Me'ilah. Korban Asham is a sin offering for having done the prohibition of Me'ilah. So what is Me'ilah? Me'ilah is when somebody, what we would call in secular law, converts an item owned by the Beis HaMikdash for his personal use. That's the prohibition, the secular violation of law called conversion, when you take something not owned by you and take it for your own benefit. So Me'ilah is similar. We could also call it misappropriation. If somebody misappropriates an item owned by the Beis HaMikdash and has personal benefit, the benefit has to be in the value of a pruta. That will also be discussed in our Masechta. How do you value it, and does it depend on the type of item that you're using? But be that as it may, Me'ilah, taking an item owned by the Beis HaMikdash, it's done b'shogeg, unintentionally, and the person converts that for personal use and has benefit from it. Now, an important requirement here is there's only a violation of Me'ilah if it's Mikodshe Hashem. The item is owned by the Beis HaMikdash, and it is exclusively owned by the Beis HaMikdash, which means that the person has no further rights or uses to that item. How would he? So let's give an example here. The korbanos, when somebody donates a korban, it's divided up in two categories. Category number one, the higher level of kedusha, is kodshei kodashim. Kodshei kodashim, for example, an ola or a chatas or an asham, the person donating those animals to be brought as those korbanos, he has no right to them. He has no right to eat the meat from them, for example. Has no further right to it. He donated it. That is kodshei kodashim. It's going to be brought in the Beis HaMikdash. And even if the Kohanim do have a right, for example, the Kohanim eat the meat of the Chatas, they are eating Mishulchan Gavoah. They're not eating their own meat. They're eating from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Korban. So that is considered Kodshei Kodashim, owned exclusively by the Beis HaMikdash. That is Kodshei Hashem. And accordingly, if somebody benefits personally from Kodshei Kodashim, that is the prohibition of Me'ilah. On the other hand, if it's Kodshei Kalim, that would be a shlamim, a personal shlamim brought by somebody, or a korban, that's the korban psachim, Pesach, somebody brings his korban Pesach. If somebody has personal benefit from it when he shouldn't, that is not mikodshei Hashem, because the owner of that korban has a right to eat the meat, then accordingly that would not, on a high level, implicate the prohibition of Me'ilah. Another important point when it comes to Me'ilah, if somebody does the prohibition of Me'ilah, he benefits in the amount of a pruta, and it's Mikodshei Hashem, that it is an item that is owned exclusively by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What has to be done is the person not only has to bring a Korban Asham, the Asham Me'ilas, but as well he has to pay back the benefit of what he benefited from. So he has to pay to the Beis HaMikdash. If he benefited 20 shkalim, he has to pay back 20 shkalim. And in addition, not only that, he has to add on a chomesh, literally a fifth. The way that fifth is computed, if it's 20, you add on a fourth of the 20. So you'd add on another five, which is a fifth after the fact. So that would be 25. The chomesh is, it's 25 after the fact, five is the chomesh, that's the addition, and 20 is the keren. So that's why it's called chomesh. We look after the fact, not when doing the computation. We are going to start now in the first perek, perek aleph, mishnah aleph, that we'll be talking about an important concept, many important concepts, but the important concept of when does Me'ilah apply, when does Me'ilah not apply. Now, when somebody donates Mishnah Aleph Kodshei Kodashim, when somebody donates that animal that's Kodshei Kodashim, it's exclusively owned by the Beis HaMikdash up until a certain point. When there is a proper, there are four different avodas that have to be done on the animal. First is a shechita. A shechita doesn't have to be done by a Kohen, but the Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika, the next three avodas, do have to be done by a Kohen. The Kabbalah is receiving the blood. Holacha is bringing the blood to the Mizbeach. And Zrika is throwing, spritzing the blood onto the Mizbeach. So the Shechita, Kabbalah, Holacha, and Zrika. And all of those, if they are done appropriately in a kosher fashion without a psul, once the Zrika is done, then the meat, if it's the type of korban, not an ola, but for example, a chatas, the meat is going to be eaten by the Kohen. At that point, because the meat is now permitted, there would be no further prohibition of mi'ila on eating that meat. So it wouldn't be a mi'ila problem at that point, because it is no longer kodshe Hashem. Having said that, let's look into Mishnah Aleph, Kodshei Kodoshim Sheshachtan Bedarim. If we have Kodshei Kodoshim, that higher level of Karbanas, and the Shechita was done in the wrong place, as we know from the Perek of Ezu Mekoman, when you have Kodshei Kodoshim, the Shechita has to be Bitzafon, in the northern part of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, not the southern part. So we're starting out on a really wrong foot. The Shechita itself was done in the wrong place. That is a psul. And accordingly, we have a psul, and this korban will never be kosher. It's always going to be kodshe Hashem. It's never going to get to a kosher zrika, and that will remove it from being kodshe Hashem. It's always going to be exclusively owned by the Beis HaMikdash. And accordingly, there is always going to be a mi'ila when somebody would have personal benefit on that korban. So mo'ali behem, there would be a mi'ila if somebody personally benefited in the amount of a pruta. Then now we're going to give a little bit more detail that even if you did everything else correct, it doesn't matter if the shechita was in the wrong place or another step. One of the other malachas, avodas, were done in the wrong place. That is going to be a fundamental psul such that there will never be a heter. That meat will always be kodshei Hashem, and there will always be a problem of mi'ila. Shchatan bedarim. So a little bit more detail on that. If the shchita was done in the south, the kibol daman bitzafon. Even if you did the Kabbalah, the next stage, the Kabbalah in the northern part of the Azara, which is the right place for it, but because the shchita was done in the wrong place, that is going to be a psul, a disqualification of this korban, or the reverse. But Safon, the Shechita was done in the right place in the northern area in the Azara, but Kibel Daman Bedarim. But the Kabbalah, this next stage, was done in the southern part. That also is a psul. It wasn't a psul with the Shechita, but it was a psul with the Kabbalah. Shchatan Bayom Vizarak Balayla. If the Shechita was done in the day, then that's when it's supposed to be done. But the Zrika, the fourth stage, was done at night. That is another psul. So you did everything correctly. You did the Shechita, you did the Kabbalah, you did the Halacha all correctly. Three out of four. But the fourth one, you did it at night. That is going to disqualify the Korban. Balayla Bizarak Bayam, or the reverse. You had the Shechita at nighttime, but the Zrika in the daytime, it doesn't matter, because the Shechita was done incorrectly. Even if you did everything else correctly, it is going to be a psul in the korban. Or sheshachtan chutzli zmanan v'chutzli mekoman, or you had the wrong intent. We won't go into detail on this, but when you were doing, for example, the Shechita, you had the intent that you're going to do something at the wrong time when it has to do that with korban. For example, he thought he's going to eat the meat not in the permitted time to eat it. I'm going to eat it not in the right time. This was his intent when he did the Shechita or Chutzli Mekoman, or he was thinking another type of psul. He was intending when he did the Shechita or at other stages that I'm going to eat it outside of its proper place. The Kodshei Kodoshim have to be eaten by the Kohanim in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash, and he's thinking I'm going to eat it outside. That as well, those are psulim to the Korban, and accordingly, because this korban will never become mutter to be eaten to Kohanim, you're never going to get to the stage of having a kosher zrika and everything up to the zrika kosher, because you had a psul here. Accordingly, it's always going to be kodshei Hashem mo'alim b'hem. There is always going to be a problem of a mi'il if somebody would benefit personally from that korban. Klal Amar Rabbi Yeshua. Rabbi Yeshua tells us a klal, a general principle, as it has to do with mi'ila. Kol shahaya lashas heter l'kohanim ein mo'alim ba. As long as it became permitted at a certain point, we're talking about the kodshei kodashim, as long as at a certain point the meat became permitted to the kohanim, from that point onward, in other words, it was a kosher zrika, all stages were kosher, all steps and all intentions were kosher, and we had a kosher zrika as well, step number four, there's going to be no mi'ila on that animal, even if thereafter it became disqualified for a different reason, and we'll talk about it in a little bit, but it doesn't matter. Once it's no longer Chodshei Hashem, once it's no longer exclusively owned by Hashem, it became permitted even for a short while to be eaten, the meat to be eaten by the Kohanim, there's no longer going to be a Me'ila for somebody who, for example, eats that meat. He personally benefits. But it already became not Kodshei Hashem. On the other hand, v'shalohai al hashos heter l'kohanim, and we'll explain this in a little bit more, if there was never a time that it was permitted for the Kohanim to eat that meat. In other words, you never got to the stage that everything was done correctly in addition to having a kosher zrika. That is what matirs, that is what permits the Kohanim to eat the meat. You never got there. Accordingly, mo'alim ba, there is always going to be a mi'ila on that animal. Anyone who would meet that meat, there would be a problem of me'ila. So let's go and explain these terms. What does that mean? That there was a shas heter l'kohanim or there was not a shas heter l'kohanim. If there was a shas heter l'kohanim, it became permitted for the kohanim to eat the meat. Me'ila goes away, even if the animal becomes disqualified there afterward. On the other hand, if there was never a shas heter l'kohanim, the kohanim were never allowed to eat that meat, accordingly, there's always going to be a me'ila. What do those phrases mean? Let's put some examples on it. Ezohi shahaya l'shas heter l'kohanim. What does it mean that there was a heter for the kohanim to eat the meat? So it means everything was done correctly up through the zrika, and thereafterward there was a disqualification. Even though thereafterward there was a disqualification and the kohanim can no longer eat the meat, it doesn't matter. There's going to be no longer a me'ila if somebody personally benefited from that meat. So, for example, I could be disqualified there afterward. You had a kosher zrika. So, shalana, that meat, it is now past the proper time that somebody was supposed to eat it. So, you waited too long. The meat, you didn't finish eating it. That is called lana. That is, effectively, it was overnight, but it passed the time that you were supposed to eat it, and somebody then eats it, that's not going to be a problem of me'ila. There are other problems, but it's not going to be a me'ila. V'shenitma'a, or the meat, even within its proper time, it was fresh meat, it's still permitted to have been eaten, but it became tame. Once it becomes tame, kohanim are no longer allowed to eat it. If somebody would personally benefit from it, he did eat it, that is not going to be me'ila, because this is all in the phrase of, it had a shas heter l'kohanim. Once it has a shas heter l'kohanim, even if it becomes disqualified thereafterward, there's going to be no me'ila. And the third example is v'shiyatza. It was taken out of the courtyard of the base of Mikdash. It cannot be taken out. And if it is taken out, even though it's not past its time to eat, that will disqualify the meat. So if somebody would benefit from it, there's not going to be no problem of me'ila. On the other hand, the other phrase, ezuhi shalohaya la shas heter l'kohanim. What would be examples when there was never a heter l'kohanim? In other words, there was some psul disqualification before the zrika, so it never got to be a kosher korban, and accordingly, it never was taken out of being kodshei Hashem. It was always kodshei Hashem. Accordingly, there's always going to be a me'il on it. So here are some examples that the psul happened early on before a kosher process and a kosher zrika. Shenishchata chutz lizmana. The shchita was done with the intention that I am going to do something out of its proper time. As we discussed before, somebody has the wrong intention, and one of the stages talking about the shechita here, that I'm, for example, going to eat the meat outside of its proper time, that invalidates at the shechita phase. Chutzli's makoma, or he had the intention, not chutzli's mano, that he's going to eat it outside the proper time, but he's going to eat it outside the proper place. I'm going to eat it outside of the base of Mikdash. Or another example, those were both examples at the shechita phase, or the next phase is shekiblu psulim. Somebody did a kabbalah, he collected the blood in a clay shares, and he wasn't allowed to. For example, he wasn't a kohen, it has to be done by a kohen, and he wasn't a kohen, so that as well will be act to invalidate it. Bizarku estam, or somebody who's puzzled as well, did the zrika. So we never had a kosher korban, it was disqualified earlier on. And accordingly, even if other people did it all correctly, meaning all stages were done correctly, proper thoughts, proper machshavas, proper person doing it, the acts, but even if you had just at one of these stages, one of these psulim, it will invalidate the korban. It's going to be before the zrika or on the zrika, so you never had a kosher zrika. This is what we're talking about. Shalohai ala shos heter l'kohanim. There was never a heter for the kohanim to eat the meat because there was never a kosher korban. Accordingly, you never went through all the stages and had a kosher zrika, and it was never removed from being kodshei Hashem. So anyone who benefits from this will be over the isra of me'ila. Mishnah Beis builds on what we saw in Mishnah Aleph, that when you have an animal, let's say it's kodshei kadoshim, and it goes through the proper process of bringing that korban all the way up to the zrika, and you have a kosher zrika, at that point it removes the meat of that korban from me'ila. There's no longer going to be me'ila. So there is me'ila up until that point, but not thereafter. And what we're going to see in Mishnah Beis, we'll start out and then give a little bit more information. When we have Basar Kodshei Kodashim, again, we have the meat of Kodshei Kodashim that had it reached the Zrika properly, then there would be no more me'ila on that meat. But what happened is before the Zrika, Sheyatza Lifnei Zrikas Damim, it was taken out of where it should be. The Psul of Yotzei, when it comes to Kodshei Kodashim, is if you take either the blood or the Emurim, which are the parts of the animal that are burnt on the base on the Mizbeach, or the meat, they are taken out of the Azara, the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So we have that problem that happened before the Zrika, and then they had the Zrika thereafterward. And what we're going to see now as a Machlokis is that Zrika going to be effective because that meat was taken out before the Zrika Sadam. And the ramification here is if the Zrika is effective, it's going to remove that meat from having a problem of mi'ila. But if the Zrika is not effective, the problem of mi'ila on that meat will continue. So the first opinion, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he's of the view that if that meat was taken out, it was a psul of Yotzei before the Zrika, even if it was brought back in time for the Zrika, it doesn't matter, the Zrika is not going to be effective to remove that meat from the mi'ila problem. It's going to maintain its status as Kodshei Hashem, and there is going to still be me'ila, mo'alin ba. It was already taken out, it was Yotzei. You cannot fix that even if you bring it in for the time of the Zrika. And in addition, as a corollary of that, because there is going to be me'ila, it's Kodshei Hashem, it never became kosher meat to be eaten. Accordingly, ve'ein chayavin ala mishum pigul noser v'tame, there's not going to be a chiyuv. If somebody would eat that meat, there's not going to be an iser kares of either a pigul as if somebody, when he was bringing that korban at various stages, had inappropriate thoughts that he's going to do various activities, chutz lizmano, out of the proper time, that would make it pigul, or no, sorry, is eating that meat outside of the allotted time, or if it's a person who is tame eating it, because we have a situation that there is mi'ila on this meat still, it was never became a kosher meat, never could be eaten by somebody who's tara, etc. Accordingly, we have the flip side of this. Mi'ila, yes, because it was never taken out of a mi'ila problem, because it wasn't effective, or the Zrika wasn't effective, because we had a psul of Yotze beforehand. But the converse of that is there's not going to be a chiyuv, a pigul noser and tami, because the meat was never kashered, it never became edible, halachically edible, because the Zrika was not effective for it. Rabbi Akiva Omer, he has the opposite take on it. Rabbi Akiva is of the view that the Zrika is going to be effective. The Zrika will remove the problem of mi'ila, even if the meat is still outside during the time of the Zrika. So Rabbi Akiva Omer, ein mo'alin bo, there is not going to be a problem of mi'ila. Just to mention, the Gemara points out that Rabbi Akiva is not talking about when the meat is fully outside of the Vazara. He's talking about when it is partially in and partially out. So you have one big piece of meat, part is in the Azara, part is outside of the Azara. That is when Rabbi Akiva is saying that the Zrika will be effective in Ein Mo'alimba, there will be no Mi'ila, but he would agree with the Tanakama Rabbi Lezer that if the whole thing is outside, even if you bring it in there afterward for the time of the Zrika, but it was at a Yotze, a Psul of Yotze, at some point before the Zrika, then the Zrika is not going to be effective, and there will be Me'ila. So here when it says Rabbi Akiva Omer Ein Mo'alimba, we're talking about a piece that was part in, part out, the Zrika is going to be effective. There is going to be no longer a Me'ila because the Zrika takes it out of a Me'ila problem. But because of that, because that meat is no longer a problem of Me'ila, effectively the meat has been koshered. It can be effectively, it's been koshered. It can be eaten accordingly. The flip side of that is Aval Chayavin Ala Mishum Pigol No Servatame, because that Zrika was effective, there is going to be a problem if somebody eats that meat, if it was Pigol, if the person bringing it had those inappropriate thoughts, if it's outside the proper time, or if the person eating it is Tame, there's going to be Kares for one or any of those that he violates. Amar Rabbi Akiva, now Rabbi Akiva is going to try to prove his case, that even though we have a Psul of Yotzei, the Zrika will be effective for that meat. Amar Rabbi Kiva, Avalo, Hamafrish Chataso Va'avda. Don't we have a situation that if somebody separated a korban chatas, he did a sin that obligated him to bring a korban chatas, and he separated it, he designated it, but the avda, it got lost. Accordingly, he wants to get rid of that sin, so he frish acheres tachta, he takes number two, he's mafrish, separates a second animal to be brought as a korban chatas, that is number two, and before he brings number two, v'acharkach nidim seis harishon, they find number one, v'haresh dei hen omdos, and he has both of them, and he can choose one or the other, and in the end of the day, there are two kohanim that are helping him, and they both shacht the animal. So each one shachs number one, one shachs number two, but the zrika is done from only one of the animals, not the second one. So only one of those korbanos had the zrika done, not the second one. Lo kishem shedama poter as bizarra. Is it not the fact that just like when you do the zrika on, let's say it was animal number one that the zrika was done on. So you did the zrika on animal number one. That is going to poter, that is going to do away with an isra of mi'ila on the meat, as we've seen. When we have a korban, we have a kodshei kodashim, so there's mi'ila on the meat until the zrika, when you have a kosher zrika that removes the mi'ila, that permits the eating of the meat to the kohanim. So when it's talking about when we have a chatas number one and you did the zrika on it, that takes care of the mi'ila problem for its meat, kachu poter et besar chaverta. The same thing applies when you did zrika on number one, that is going to not only absolve the mi'ila problem for the meat on the first animal, but the second one as well. It's going to be effective for the second one as well. And we're going to say, we'll say it outside beforehand and then we'll read it inside. So we see here that a zrika can be effective for a different animal. It's going to be effective for number one on its own meat, and it's going to be effective for number two as well on the meat of number two. Certainly in our situation, when we have a zrika of dam on the psul of yotze, we have a zrika of dam on meat that was taken out, certainly it's going to be effective for its own meat. So that's what it says inside, v'im pater dama et bisar chaverta mi'ila, and if that's the fact, and we know it is, that when you do the zrika on number one, it takes care of the mi'ila problem for the meat of number two as well. Dinu kava chomer, certainly, shiiftor et bisara, that it's going to be able to be effective, that zrika is going to be effective for its own meat, even though we had a psul of yotze at a certain point. So that's Rabbi Akiva's proof, indeed, that even though we had a psul of yotze, but this zrika is going to be effective for that meat and will remove it from a problem of mi'ila. Mishnah Gimel builds on the prior Mishnah, but requires a little bit of background. As we've discussed, there are two categories of korbanos, kodshei kodashim and kodshei kalim. And they act differently, very differently when it comes to mi'ila. The kodshei kodashim, there is a problem of mi'ila before the zrika. So at any time up until the zrika, assuming everything goes properly, at the zrika is when things change. And they change as follows. Up until the zrika, the animal is kodshei Hashem. It's exclusively owned by Kodesh Baruch Hu. And accordingly, there is going to be mi'il if somebody personally benefits from either the meat or the emurim, those are the sacrificial parts burnt on the mizbeach. There's going to be a mi'ila from either one of those. However, at a kosher zrika, things change for the meat. At that point, kosher zrika, the meat is permitted to be eaten by the kohanim. The emurim still are kodshei Hashem. It has to be burned on the mizbeach. So the mi'ila only applies at that point to the emurim, but no longer to the meat. That's when it comes to the kodshei kodashim. When it comes to kodshei kalim, it's totally different. Because the kodshei kalim, the owners have a right to eat the meat, that korban is never, that animal, and then the korban is never considered kodshei Hashem. If somebody would personally benefit from the meat or the emurim, there is not going to be a problem of mi'ila. Other problems, but not mi'ila, but that again changes in a different direction when it comes to the zrika. At the zrika, when it comes to kodshei kalim, we get more machmir. When it comes to the kodshei kodashim, we get more lenient on the meat. When it comes to the kodshei kalim, we get more machmir when it comes to the emurim. Because it's at that point that that emurim is now kodshei Hashem. It's dedicated and it is limited to being used on the mizbeach. It has to be burnt on the mizbeach. And at that point, there is going to be a mi'ila for somebody who personally benefits from the emurim, but the meat will stay the same. Just like before the zrika, there was no me'ila. The meat is to be eaten by people. That again, there will be no me'ila. So that is the difference between kodesh kodesh and kodesh kalim. We will get into more of this in the next Mishnah. What we're talking about in Mishnah Gimel, in contrast to the prior Mishnah where we talked about kodesh kodeshim that had a problem of yotzei before the zrika, in Mishnah Gimel we're talking about emure kodesh kalim, not the meat that was yotzei, but the emurim that were yotzei, not of kodesh kodeshim, but of kodesh kalim. Emure kodesh kalim shiatsu lifnei zrikas damim, before the zrika of the blood. We're going to see the same machlokes between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. If when you do the zrika and that emurim that had a problem of yotze, is that zrika going to be effective or it's not? And they're going to be consistent in their views. Rabbi Eliezer Omer ein mo'alim bahem, there is going to be no me'ila. What Rabbi Eliezer is saying is that zrika is not effective. You have a psul of yotze, and because of that, even if you bring the emurim back in time for the zrika, doesn't matter, that zrika is not going to be effective. And accordingly, when it comes to kodesh kalim, there is never a mi'ila on emurim until there's an effective zrika. So here there was never an effective zrika. Accordingly, there's going to be no mi'ila if somebody personally benefits from those emurim. And in addition, not only that, but because the zrika was not effective, the korban was not properly, it's puzzle, and accordingly then, the Mishnah continues, ve'en chayavim aleihem, if somebody would eat those emurim, have personal benefit from those emurim, mishum pigol, no, certain time he'd be specifically eating it, there's not going to be an iser, a chiyuv kares, of if there was a psul on that animal as a pigul, or if it's out of the allotted time, or if it's a tummy person eating it, which would typically be a problem of kares, but because these emurim never had an effective zrika, accordingly, there is going to be no isr kares of pigul, nosar, and tami for somebody who eats those emurim. Now we're going to see the flip side, Rabbi Akiva Omer, the zrika is effective even though we have a psul of yotze, and even if that those emurim are still outside when we do the zrika is still going to be effective. And once the zrika is effective, because we're talking about kodesh kalim, we have the changeover that there's no isra me'ila on the meat or the emurim before the zrika, but at the zrika, that changes for the emurim. And at the emurim, when you have an effective zrika, there is a problem of me'ila on them. Accordingly, Rabbi Akiva Omer, even though we had the psul of yotze, but the zrika is going to be effective. And accordingly, after the zrika, mo'alim bayam, there is going to be a problem of me'ila on those emurim. And in addition, because it's now an effective korban, if somebody would eat those emurim, chayavim aleihem mishum pigul, no servatame, there would be a kares on any of those that would apply. If it was a pigul problem and somebody ate it, or if it was out of the allotted time, the noser problem, or if it's somebody tame eating it, then there would be a chiyuv of kares for any of those. Mishnah Dalet is a continuation of the prior Mishnah. And just to recap before we see the text of the Mishnah itself, when we have animals, korbanos that are being brought that are kodesh kodashim, like a chatas or an asham, there's a mi'ila from the beginning. Those are kodesh Hashem, mi'ila both on the emurim and the meat and the basar, up until the zrika. At the zrika, things change, but they don't change for the emurim. There's still going to be mi'ila on the emurim. It's going to change for purposes of the meat, because the meat can now be eaten by the kohanim. So changes at the zrika for kodesh kodashim, but only for purposes of the basar, that there's no longer mi'ila. When it comes to kodesh kalim, for example, a shlamim or a korban psachim, things are very different. There's no me'ila from the beginning. There's no me'ila, be it on the emurim or the basar or the meat, but things change at the zrika for purposes of the emurim, because at that point, the emurim are designated to be burnt and only burnt on the mizbeach, but the meat still has no problem of me'ila. Mishnah Dalet is going to compare and contrast the two. Mishnah Dalet says as follows, when it comes to ma'aseh damim, that is talking about the zrika of the dam, b'kodshe kodashim, when it comes to animals that are kodshe kodashim, the hakel ulahachmir, the zrika is effective to be lenient in one way, and to be machmir, stricter, in another way. Over kodshe kalim, when it comes to kodshe kalim, kulam lahachmir, the zrika is going to be machmir in always. It means in two ways. What does that mean? That's very cryptic. So the Mishnah says, Ketzad, what are we talking about? Let's unpack that. Kodshei Kodashim. When it comes to the first category, the Kodshei Kodashim, Lifnei Zrika, Stamim, but before the Zrika, as we mentioned, Moalim Bei Murim Ubabasar, there is a Mi'ila not only on the Murim, but the Basar as well. There's total Mi'ila, that's Kodshei Hashem. However, what's the impact of the Zrika, as we said just before, La'achar Zrika, Stamim, Moalin be'emurim, still the me'ila and the emurim continues. There's no change there. Ve'ein moalin babasar, but there's no me'ila on the meat. So when we started out in this mission, said when the zrika, the impact of the zrika on kodshei kodashim is lahakel ulahachmir. This is lahakel, to be more lenient, that after the zrika, there's no longer a me'ila on the meat. And how about lahachmir? How are we stricter? Valzeh vazeh, whether you're talking about the emurim or the meat, that's valzeh, whether the emurim or the meat, chayavim mishum pigol noser v'tameh, after a kosher zrika, that is when the isurim pigol noser, and somebody who's tameh eating it, that's when it will kick in. So that's what we see when it comes to the kodshei kodashim, the zrika is lahakel, in that at the zrika point, that is when there is no longer a mi'ila on the meat. But it's also lahachmir because after the zrika, that is when the isurim pigol noser and tamei apply. When it comes to kodshei kalim, it's very different. Of a kodshei kalim kulan lahachmir, everything changes at the zrika. But lechumra ketsa, what does that mean? So when it comes to kodshei kalim lifnei zrika stamim, as we said before, when it comes to the kodshei kalim before the zrika is done, ein moalin lo beemurim velo bebasar, there is no meila, be it on the emurim, be it on the meat, there is no me'ila when it comes to kodshei kalim until you have an effective zrika. But la'achar zrika stamim, when you have that effective zrika, mo'alin be'emurim, there is going to be at that point, and only at that point, things will change. There's going to be a me'ila on the emurim. That is la'achmir, as we started out by saying, when it comes to kodshei kalim, the zrika is kulan la'achmir. This is the first example of when you have la'achmir at the zrika, that things change. There's no me'ila before, either on the meat or the emurim before the zrika, but at the zrika lahachmir on the emurim, that now there is a me'ila. However, ve'ein mo'alim babasar, things didn't change for purposes of the basar. Before the zrika for kodshei kalim, there is going to be no me'ila, and afterwards, there's also not going to be any me'ila. And in addition, another way that the zrika is lahachmir, because we said kula lahachmir, there are two examples, two ways that it's lahachmir. Number one is that there's me'ila on the emurin after the zrika, and also after the zrika lahachmir, valzeva zechayavi mishum pigol no servetame. After the zrika, even for kodshei kalim, just as we saw for kodshei kodashim, that is when the isurim of pigol no ser and tame kick in. Accordingly, just to recap, nimtza, it turns out, ma'ase damim, b'kodshei kodashim lahakel lahachmir, when it comes to the zrika's effect on a kodshei kodashim korban is in one way lahakel, as we discussed, in one way lahachmir, b'kodshei kalim, but when it comes to kodshei kalim, kula lahachmir, it is machmir in two ways, not only one.